You have your Bibles. Go back, if you would, just for a few moments. We have something I want to do to close the service tonight. Find, if you would, Matthew chapter 22. Then I'd like you to find, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Matthew chapter 22, 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. This morning, we were in the passage of Matthew 22. We were also in Matthew chapter 17. And we were watching the Lord Jesus as he was very careful to make sure to reveal himself to Peter. Peter had made a decision, and a quick decision, and answered a question that in his answer really stripped Christ from his deity. It was an answer to a question that caught Peter a little bit off guard in the moment, and he just answered what he knew to be true as far as the fact that the Lord had kept all the law. He never missed any of it, not one jot or one tittle. He is the sinless Son of Man. But there was a required tax. It was a tax that was given for the temple. It was a tax in effect that they had a little bit adapted from Exodus chapter 30, verse number 13. And it was a tax that was given with a purpose and a motive. And, you know, motive is important. Why you do what you do is important. Some things are not right just because of their motive or their origin. You got to be careful about that. The Bible uses the phrase something being not expedient or wise. The tax was a half a shekel, and the tax was, in effect, a moment of worship. It was a moment of giving an offering to the Lord. It was, in effect, a debtor acknowledging the creditor. It was, in effect, a humanity that would be worshiping God. And Peter said, and it was an offering to the Lord, and when Peter said, yeah, he gives it, that tax, Jesus was quick to make sure that Peter understood that he didn't owe any debt to God. Jesus did not owe a debt to God. Jesus is God. So he's equal with God. And he used that little story. He said, now the kings of the earth, they get taxes from their children or from strangers? Well, of course they get it from strangers. They don't get it from their children. Well, Peter had just finished saying that Jesus is the Son of the living God. And so, in effect, Jesus is saying, listen, this tax is for humanity, but this tax is not for me. And in your answer, you brought me from a deified position to just a common man. And I want you to know something. I'm not a sinful common man. He did become a man, and he did become a common man, but he was the sinless common man. And so to prove the deity and the power of the Lord taught Peter a good lesson with fishing. Peter was a fisherman. And so the Lord sent Peter down to the sea, and he said, catch a fish, and when you catch that first fish, open up his mouth, take that coin, and pay your tax, and pay the tax for me and for thee. And so Jesus paid the tax, even though he didn't have to. He submitted himself to it because he didn't want to offend those that were around them. He wanted to draw people to himself, not drive them away. By the way, your life should draw people to Christ, not drive them. Your actions, what you do. That's why you got to be cognizant of where you go. Be careful where you go. Bible says abstain from the appearance of evil. You don't ever want me to see you coming out of a bar. You don't ever want to see your pastor coming out of a bar, do you? If it's a bar and grill, they probably got good wings. I was there for the wings. I'm careful where I go. I'm careful what I do. I'm careful in our home because I want everything about my life to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. If you do too, say amen. And so Jesus humbled himself. He didn't want to drive, and he paid the tax. And then he paid the tax in such an awesome way that it should demonstrate in our lives his ability to meet our need. His ability to meet our need miraculously. When there's not a way, God will make a way. And when it seems like it's impossible, well, we serve a God who nothing is impossible with him. And if God can use the fish to meet Peter's need in that moment. If he wanted to, he could use the fish today to meet your need. I told you this morning, if he wanted it to rain money in your life, he could let it rain money. If he wanted your avocado tree to grow dollar bills, it could grow dollar bills. He could do all of those things. But God's never going to do anything in your life that doesn't require faith. Ever. So that nest egg that you're wanting to save for so that you can be comfortable, or that point in retirement, that drive, it's nothing wrong to have a nest egg, nothing wrong to be comfortable, nothing wrong with that. But if that is the drive, and the drive or the motive is a self-securing, God's never going to let that develop. He will take everything you have before he lets that happen. Because God's never going to let you find peace and comfort and rest in something apart from him. And let me follow that by saying this. No Christian should ever want peace and comfort from anything apart from Jesus Christ. Everything else is less satisfying. He's not against money. He's not against having things. He's for all that. But when there's the flip-flop that we trust in that, we run into problems. And so he met Peter's need. He can meet whatever need you have. It was met with miraculous power. I think that's important in our lives. We went to Matthew 22 and we looked at our responsibility to pay taxes. And I want you to go there because there's a verse here that I just want to give you one thought on. And that verse, we'll pick up with verse 17. The Bible says, "Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou?" These are men that hated Christ. If you read Mark 12, verse 14, Luke chapter 20, verse 22, you will find that there was nothing but venom and hatred and anger, and they had already infiltrated the disciples with spies, and they were trying to kill the Lord. So they figured they could ask him a question about tax, and they could catch him. So what do you think, Lord? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, "Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money." They brought unto him a penny. This was a Roman penny. He saith unto them, "Whose is this image and superscription?" "Well, it's Caesar's." 21 says, "They say unto him, Caesar. Then saith he unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's." So this morning we talked a little about the importance of rendering our taxes unto Caesar. And I'll leave that now. And I just want to dwell just a moment. What does it mean to render under God the things that are God's? Think about that. Well, if I got to pay tax to Caesar and I render under him those things, what did the Lord mean when he said render under God the things that are God's? So think about your life just a second. What in your life do you identify as belonging to God? You don't have to answer out loud. I don't want you to. Well, Pastor, things that belong to God. I think sometimes in our mind, we kind of have this ability to say, this part of my life and my things belong to God. And this part kind of belongs to me. But really and truthfully, everything about our life belongs to God. So when Jesus says, render unto God the things that are God's, where does that put you? I want to simplify it. Well, Pastor, I've given my children to the Lord. Great. Pastor, I've given service to the Lord. Great. Pastor, I've devoted everything that I have to the Lord, okay? He's not wanting you to itemize. Be careful about itemizing with God. Go to Romans chapter, or go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let me show you the bottom line. Look, if you would, at verse number 19. The Bible says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So if you are a Christian, who owns you? God does. So in Matthew chapter 12 or 22, when the Lord Jesus says, render unto God the things that are God's, what's he talking about? He's talking about you. He's talking about the things of your life, righteousness, holiness, your visions, your that for your family, your dreams, what you want to accomplish. He's talking about those things, but I have found that once a person surrenders themselves to God, then the rest of those things line up. You will have tremendous battle and difficulty if you try to itemize your life and you give God certain things without giving him yourself. You will be unstable in your mind because you'll be double-minded. Once I understand that I'm not my own, I belong to him. He paid for us. He didn't pay for me. Then you're not saved. If you're saved, you realize he bought you. Amen? So when I realize that I belong to the Lord, when Jesus really said, render under God the things that are God's, the Bible teaches us that the first thing I render is myself. So God, you have me. And now because you have me, you have everything in my life. But if he doesn't have me first, then I start itemizing and picking and choosing. And I start thinking, well, this one I like, that one you can have, that's expendable. Ooh, don't touch that here or there. And I have found that I lack a peace in that. Go to Romans chapter 12. Let me give you a final thought here. Pastor, how do I give myself? That doesn't make sense to me. Well, I think Paul laid it out pretty carefully right here in Romans chapter 12, in verse number 1. You probably know it by heart. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So if the admonition from the Lord was, okay, there are certain things that belong to Caesar and you're going to render them. There are certain things that belong to God and your responsibility is to render under God what belongs to him. Well, if you're saved, you belong to him. So render yourself. Submit yourself. How do I do that? I present my body a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice has no rights. A living sacrifice has no voice per se. The sacrifice is that which is offered. When a sacrifice is offered, there's no room for self. So I say, now, Lord, you own me. You paid for my redemption. So everything about me, I surrender myself. You have me. The good and the bad. And believe me, there's a lot more bad about us than there is good. I present my body holy, acceptable unto you. I want it to be for service for you. The problem is most Christians, they get so frustrated with the things of life because we don't have the same things others have. Or we get what we think we want and there's just not a lot of joy there. Or we try to keep some things and measure these kind of things and we try to itemize here. And it almost seems like that the Christian life can become more negative than it become positive. Let me tell you something. Jesus is positive. You're the one and I'm the one in those moments that's negative. Because I tried to give him things without giving him me. And I've got the cart before the horse. If I give him me, then all the things of my life line up. And I have found that what the Lord wants after he has me, I readily give. But when the Lord wants things but he doesn't have me, I kind of hold those things back. I'll tell you something. You can trust him with yourself. Right. Marvelous God. So render unto God the things that are God's. It begins with you. I hope you've done that. Have you ever had where you laid yourself face down? If you're old and you can't do that, when you sat in your rocking chair and you lifted up your hands or you spread them out on the ground. If you ever laid prostrate on the ground in front of God, say amen. Amen. It's a very awesome moment when you approach it right. I've had needs before that have been so deep that I've come here and I've laid on my face and spread my arms out and said, God, I don't know what to do, but God, you have me in this moment. If you've never had a moment where you surrender to Him, not for a ministry, not for something, just simply say, I reckon your ownership in my life, and I'm rendering myself to you. You have me, and because you have me, you have everything in my life. Pastor, that's crazy. Let me tell you something. If you haven't done that, you're missing out on a blessing. I would encourage you to do that.